will always say they have the best popcorn in town. Visit Screening Room at screeningroom.com for upcoming show dates and ticket information.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Boards will soon be going up around the outdoor rink in Springer Market Square, a familiar sight each year as the city prepares for its annual historic hockey game, reenacting Canada's first ever game played in 1886 on the frozen Kingston Harbour. This year, however, the boards won't come down right away. Instead, they'll stay up for 4 full days of programming. Boards Up, Rink Sports in the Square runs from Thursday, January 22nd to Sunday, January 25th, inviting Kingstonians to watch and take part in a variety of rink sports. The lineup includes more hockey than ever before, with curling and ringette joining the schedule as well. I spoke with Sandy Griffiths, events manager with the Downtown Kingston BIA, about what's planned over the next 4 days in Springer Market Square. Well, to start us off, I was wondering if you could tell us what Boards Up is all about and where this idea kind of came from.
Yeah, absolutely. So every year, the ice rink in Springer Market Square, the city installs boards around the rink for a short period of time, and they do it for the annual historic hockey game. And so because, you know, it's a bit of work to get the boards up, the city came to us and to the BIA and said, hey, the boards are up anyway. Do you want to program the ice? Maybe program some games, some demonstrations so folks can come down and watch. And we said, absolutely. And so we decided to do sort of a rink sports in the square event that would, I mean, typically of sports that are played that require boards and netting. And so we're doing a 4-day demonstration of different rink sports, and that'll start this Thursday.
Awesome. And we'll get into all these new sports that you've added, but I did want to chat about the historic hockey game because I actually didn't know this piece of Kingston history, that Canada's first hockey game took place here. I was wondering if you could dive into that and the reenactment.
Yeah, so the first ever game was played on Kingston Harbor. So the harbor was frozen, and that game was played between RMC Cadets and Queens. I believe the year was 1886. And so the historic hockey reenactment game has been around for a long time, and we're doing it again this year. They take it very seriously, like the uniforms that they wear. There's a square puck that they play with. Apparently the first puck used to be square. And there are 3 teams that participate. So it's RMC, it's Queens, and it's the Royal Artillery Brigade out of Petawawa. And so they play for a couple of hours, and it's just really fun to see them in the old school uniforms playing with a square puck. They try to keep, even some of the rules are a little bit different. So it's a fun thing for hockey fans and for anyone really to enjoy.
Awesome. Yeah. And what are these new sports that you've added in this year?
Yeah, so Thursday night there'll be a curling demonstration. So from 6 to 8, you can come down to Springer Market Square. They're going to pebble the ice, and we actually have lighting, like overhead lighting, that will project curling rings onto the ice. So the Greater Kingston Curling Club will be there. They'll do short demonstrations, and then they'll actually give people an opportunity to try and throw a curling rock, which I've never done, which I'm excited to do. So that will be fun. That's from 6 to 8. Friday night will be ringette. So there'll be a ringette two ringette teams will be squaring off starting at 6. Of course, Saturday is the historic hockey game. And then at 3:30 on Saturday, members of the Kingston Frontenacs will be in the square. And so you can skate with some of your favorite local hockey heroes. Barrack the Bear will be there as well. So that's always a fun time. And then Sunday is minor hockey day. So Sunday, we've got teams from all of the local minor hockey clubs that will be participating in sort of a round robin. And those are the little guys. We also have some all girls teams, which is exciting. So just, you know, 4 days of outdoor sport activity in the square.
Awesome. And are you hoping that this will continue and be a tradition alongside the annual reenactment game?
Yeah, I think it's a fun way to introduce the community to the different sports that sort of happen in the city. You know, it's a great accessible way to try things like curling. It's also a great opportunity for parents and grandparents and friends to see their little ones play on the ice in Springer Market Square. That's always fun for parents. So yeah, I mean, definitely historic hockey will continue. And so I think if, you know, if we can get the Kingston community rallying behind this and showing support and coming down and interacting and viewing and cheering, then it's definitely something that we'll continue to bring back.
Once again, that was Sandy Griffiths with Downtown Kingston on Boards Up Ring Sports in the Square, running until Sunday, January 25th. For full details and updates, visit downtownkingston.ca. Council has unanimously approved a motion directing staff to examine the feasibility of free or no-fee public transit as part of the city's ongoing transit review. The motion brought forward by Councillor Ryan Boehm responds to long-standing questions from residents about whether Kingston could implement a fare-free transit system. In a short pitch to Council, Boehm outlined why he felt the review was worth including.
It's just providing this extra information for a more holistic review. I know most people usually get the emails about, like, why don't we do this? And other cities are doing this. And when you ask those questions, the first thing that comes back is, what's the cost? You know, what are the benefits? What's the total cost? So it's as simple as that. This doesn't commit us to anything other than getting some more information from city staff on a review of transit that was already ongoing anyways. So it just gives us better information going forward.
As Boehm stated, the review will be conducted for informational purposes and will focus on understanding how fare-free systems operate in other cities, as well as the potential implications, costs, and applicability of such a model for Kingston Transit. The feasibility of free transit has not previously been formally studied by the City of Kingston. Findings related to the free or no-fee transit review will be included as part of the broader Kingston Transit Service Review, which is currently underway. Council has unanimously approved a motion calling for a comprehensive review of accessible transportation options across the city. The motion, brought forward by Councillor Brandon Tozzo, directs city staff to examine how existing accessible transit services are working and identify ways to improve and simplify access for residents who rely on them. The city currently subsidizes Kingston Access Bus to provide accessible transportation alongside conventional Kingston Transit services. In 2025, the city also introduced an accessible taxi program through the Kingston and Area Taxi Licensing Commission, designed to enhance service options available to riders. Since then, additional private accessible transportation services have become available. The city is also exploring the implementation of an on-demand transit service in rural areas, which would include an accessible fleet, as early as late 2026. The approved motion calls for staff to complete a board review of all accessible transportation options, including existing subsidies, with the goal of maximizing access for residents and streamlining how people navigate available services. Councillor Tozzo stated the following before council before the vote.
Today, Kingston has multiple accessible transportation options, Kingston Access Bus, Kingston Transit, and the Accessible Taxi Program, which was introduced in 2025. Private accessible providers and soon potentially on-demand transit services in rural areas. Each of these services exist because we as a council care about accessibility. At its core, accessible transportation is the difference between independence and isolation, between being able to participate in community life or being left behind by systems that are simply too hard to navigate. When the ATP program was introduced in 2025, there were hopes that this option would fill another gap. This program has been used, and it's made a real difference for residents who need the more flexible schedule than bus services can provide. I think its update demonstrates demand, but it also highlights the need for clearer rules, better integration with other services, better eligibility, and a thoughtful approach to how the city coordinates and manages accessible transportation going forward. There are many options for accessibility, but eligibility rules are often unclear. Booking processes are inconsistent. I think that we've all heard from constituents about that. Coverage and affordability vary depending on which phone number you call. And for some, you're already living with mobility challenges, cognitive barriers, illness, or age-related changes. That complexity can be overwhelming. And services that exist in silos really don't help anyone. Accessibility should reduce barriers, not create new ones. This motion asks us to step back and look at the whole picture, not to point fingers, not to predetermine outcomes, but to ask whether our current approach currently serves the people it was designated for. Are we making it easier for residents to understand their options? Are subsidies being used in ways to maximize real access? Are new services being integrated in a way that simplifies the experience, or are we unintentionally layering confusion on top of confusion? As we plan for future transit innovations, we have an opportunity to build accessibility from the start rather than retrofitting it later. That opportunity only works if we understand what's working, what isn't, and where people are falling through the cracks. Ultimately, this motion is about the city we want to be, a city where accessible transportation is understandable, coordinated, and dignified, a city where independence is supported, not eroded by confusing procedures, a city where inclusion is reflected not just in our values, but in how people experience daily life, and a city that is a leader in accessibility and inclusion where everyone belongs.
City staff are expected to report back to council with preliminary options for expanded accessible transportation services by the fourth quarter of 2026. At their last meeting, council passed an advocacy-based motion about measles vaccination awareness. This motion comes after the Pan American Health Organization notified the Public Health Agency of Canada that Canada has lost its measles elimination status due to sustained transmission over more than 1 year. According to Ontario Public Health, between 2013 and 2023, Ontario reported a total of 101 measles cases. In 2025 alone, there were 2,395 reported cases in the province. Local data from Southeast Public Health indicates higher vaccination rates in the KFLNA region, with an overall regional measles immunization coverage of 90.7% among the school-age population. However, the motion was brought forward with the concern of overall declining vaccination rates, vaccine misinformation, and the disruption of routine immunizations during the COVID-19 pandemic. Specifically, the motion asks that council affirm the safety and effectiveness of the vaccine, encourage residents to verify their vaccination status with their healthcare provider or Southeast Public Health, and urge the public to rely on credible health information and avoid sources that promote vaccine misinformation. Councillor Jeff McLaren brought the motion before council, seconded by Councillor Connie Glenn.
It came to my attention through Public Health that Canada lost our measles elimination late last year. Around November is when I heard about it. And then we talked about why this was happening. A lot of it might be some of the misinformation that's coming from south of the border and all of that. But it is a little bit embarrassing that we, a first world country with a first class healthcare system, lost this designation. It's been the first time we've done it in almost 30 years. 20 to 30 years was the last time that we had lost this. And this is dangerous. It is critically important for the health of our country and our community to make sure you've been vaccinated. It is a lifelong immunity, but if you haven't been vaccinated, you will be transmitting this. And if you thought COVID was bad and we don't have herd immunity, it's going to be worse for those who get it. The most mild symptoms are life-threatening.
One of the reasons for talking about this, although we have a high vaccination rate here in KFNLA, is the concept of herd immunity means that that we're also protecting those who cannot be vaccinated. There are individuals that are allergic to vaccinations, small children who have yet to receive one are at high risk. So putting this out there is really to remind us as a community that we have a duty of care to one another. And I think it was quite shocking to a number of individuals in the healthcare community to see us lose that elimination status. Again, this is one of the most communicable diseases on the planet. We can't continue to be complacent. We need to make sure that we continue to re-message, to make sure that everyone is understanding the importance of continuing to keep up to date with vaccinations, measles and others. But right now, I'd like to see Canada regain its elimination status in short order. And we can do that if we continue to message out on as many channels as possible.
The motion was carried with a vote of 12 to 1. With the sole opposing vote coming from Councillor Gary Osterhoff. Messaging about the measles vaccine will be posted through the city's communication channels in coordination with Southeast Public Health's public information efforts. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. This is Henry Walker with your Queen's Campus News here on CFRC 101.9's Campus Beat. Queen's University is among six Ontario post-secondary institutions receiving provincial funding to support the expansion of primary care teaching clinics. Under the Provisional Primary Care Action Plan, a total of $8 million has been allocated for planning new and expanded clinic operations, which aim to connect more patients with family doctors and interdisciplinary healthcare teams. Queen's operates family health team primary care clinics in Kingston, Belleville, and Oshawa, and the recent funding will support planning work at each site. The initiative is intended to improve access to primary care while training future health professionals, including resident physicians and other practitioners working in team-based care settings. In related provincial news, the Government of Ontario has announced a significant investment in colleges and universities, with $242 million designated for upgrading facilities and institutional equipment across the province. The announcement was made in Kingston by the Minister of Colleges, Universities, Research Excellence, and Security. Most of the funding is allocated through the Facilities Renewal Program, which supports maintenance and repair on-campus buildings. Additional funds will help purchase modern instruction and training equipment. Officials say the investment is intended to better align post-secondary institutions with workforce needs in sectors such as healthcare, trades, and education. On January 14th, Queen's University held a ceremony to honor Chancellor Emeritus and former Senator Murray Sinclair. Sinclair, the first Indigenous Chancellor in Queen's history, was recognized for his long-standing work in promoting reconciliation and Indigenous justice. The event drew attention from both the Queen's community and broader civic audiences, making a connection of the university's efforts to recognize leadership in equity and community service. In Kingston municipal politics, a recently published commentary has urged caution in adopting online voting for the upcoming 2026 municipal election. The piece argues that while online voting may expand accessibility, it also raises unresolved concerns around cybersecurity, equity, and trust in electoral outcomes. Local residents and policy analysts will likely continue this debate as municipal councils consider options ahead of the election. The Kingston area continues to see development proposals, with plans being discussed for a high-volume residence project downtown on a block formerly home to a McDonald's and Blockbuster video store. The proposal, described by municipal officials as consistent with the city's intensification goals, has promoted debate among community members about height, density, and heritage impacts in the core. Looking ahead, Queen's University's Department of Gender Studies is hosting the 2026 SXGD Lecture on January 28th at Robert Sutherland Hall. The talk, delivered by Dr. Natalie Curry-Tau, will explore institutional dynamics of safety and power in higher education.
Also in the coming days, the Kingston Grand Theater continues performances of Into the Woods, now running through January 20th, offering cultural programming that attracts both students and community audiences. I've been Henry with your Queen's Campus News here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We start with Monday, January 19th, daytime high of minus 5, feeling closer to minus 16 with the wind chill. We're also looking at a little bit of snow overnight, could see 3 to 6 centimeters falling between late Sunday and the rest of the day Monday. Tuesday, January 20th, another very chilly day. Daytime high of minus 10, feeling closer to minus 20 with the wind chill, and another 1 to 3 centimeters in the forecast between Tuesday night and the morning of Wednesday, January 21st. Slightly warmer, minus 6, feeling like minus 15, with intermittent snow and flurries projected throughout the day. Thursday, January 22nd, daytime high of minus 6 with a mix of sun and cloud, feeling closer to minus 11 with the wind chill. Friday, January 23rd, a little bit colder, daytime high of minus 9. But we will see less wind chill, so in the sun at the peak of the day, it'll actually feel a little closer to minus 4, even if the temperature is technically forecasted to be lower than Thursday. Saturday, January 24th, minus 8 is your high. Snowy, cold, feeling like minus 17. Sunday, January 25th, minus 14, with a wind chill feeling closer to minus 20. A little bit of sun, mostly clouds in the forecast. And then moving into the start of next week, Monday, January 26th, high of minus 11, feeling like minus 20, with a 60% chance of snow in the forecast as well. This week's City of Kingston traffic report has very little to report, but I do want to remind our listeners that the full winter parking restrictions went into effect on January 1st. During January and February, overnight on-street parking is not permitted, no matter the weather conditions. That will change in March, where overnight on-street parking will be banned only if the weather and conditions require it, so think particularly snowy or icy evenings. When restrictions are in place, parking on city streets is prohibited from 1 a.m. to 7 a.m. On the streets surrounding Kingston General Hospital, the ban runs from 12 a.m. to 7 a.m. Vehicles left on the street during bans are subject to ticketing and towing. To learn more about parking restrictions, how they work, and to stay informed, you can visit the City of Kingston website.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
KPP Concerts and CFRC 101.9 FM are turning up the heat this winter with a stacked lineup of shows. At the Broom Factory, don't miss out on Metal Fusion cellist extraordinaire Raphael Weinreth Brown on January 23rd. On February 14th, you can see local rockers Casador take the stage, while Canadian punk rockers The Flatliners are live on February 20th. And don't miss out on Daniel Romano's Outfit on March 13th, followed by Schoolhouse and Braden Lamb on March 15th. And the winter season rounds up with The Sheepdogs live at Kingston Grand Theatre on March 16th. For a complete list of shows and ticket information, visit kppconcerts.com. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Pink Velvet, the sophomore single from Kingston-based rap duo D98, consisting of N98 Productions and Jacques Dupel, also featuring a verse from American rapper Black Sam. Following up on their 2025 single ADHD, Pink Velvet is laced with hypnotic production, chill energy, and a luxurious performance by Black Sam. The song discusses the finer things in life, from high-end vacations to making the most of a bad situation, and waxing lyrically on how far you've come because of your craft. It's rich, intoxicating, and is a sneak peek at more to come as the duo builds to their debut album this summer. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the release radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Pink Velvet on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
How you holding up, Nate? We good? We good? Yeah. Yeah, we're chilling. One time. Hey.
She wanna smoke pink velvet. She wanna look at the sky, but them stars on my wrist, I'm way too selfish. Waterfront diner, I just can't help it. Bait by the shoreline, cake by the ocean, soaking the moon with the fork and the shellfish. Yeah. She wanna smoke pink velvet.
I keep my hands clean, smoking my lungs. Pink rolled up in the paper. She been waiting on a man to save her. Hop on a plane, Montreal to Jamaica. Parasailing in the heart of Barbados. Red stripe, jerk chicken Alfredo. Pure one, Montego Bay. Blue riptide, black salmon filet. High as can be. She wanna smoke pink velvet with me. Head spinning, float away with the leaves. Palm trees blow away in the breeze. Ride the jet ski, Caribbean seas. Green tea gave her something to see. Pink velvet, now she looking at me. Pink velvet, now she down on her knees.
She wanna smoke pink velvet. She wanna look at the sky, but them stars on my wrist, I'm way too selfish. Waterfront diner, I just can't help it. Baked by the shoreline, cake by the ocean. Soaking the moon with the fork of the shellfish. Yeah. She wanna smoke pink velvet.
Young Ken Dryden, looking for that six of cups.
Girls wanna pull my tarot, spinning 45s on indica. Cold 45s in the fridge by a tomahawk steak. I'ma see her when I hit that brush. She monologue praise. Wanna talk dates till I got this place on princess love. That flower capricious. We kick it in now like Vinny done split it. That seventh stay on my shirt. That smoke smell never gon' leave my linen. Rocks on my skin cause my wristband grim. Invisibly rich in a bungalow kitchen. Eating fantastic though money is stretching. Converse about hope like a torch forbidden. She grinning, yeah.
Smoking on velvet. Palm trees with the shellfish. Pink smoke from the outlet. Plug color, he be jealous.
Crossbody dummy printed. Checkerboard chocolate tinted. The chicken within it is new, but the leather is vintage. Interior Benjamin Sennett. Yeah. Fruits on my label for a minute. Apologize if I've been slurring my sentence. Yeah. Don't gotta throw me no spinach. My patent on all of the styles I've invented. And Issa Laurent, she get what she want. Yeah. Nothing off limits. She's got in the grill. You can tell by my grimace. The stones in it give it a brilliant finish. I got it. All of my references, hope that you caught it. All of my visuals, hunted and shot it. All my residuals sit in my pocket. My shooter on flank when I make a deposit. Yeah.
She wanna smoke pink velvet. Stars on my wrist, I'm way too selfish. Waterfront dining, I just can't help it. Baked by the shoreline, cake by the ocean. Soaking the moon with the fork and the shellfish. Yeah. She wanna smoke pink velvet. She wanna smoke pink velvet. She wanna look at the sky, but them stars on my wrist, I'm way too selfish. Waterfront dining, I just can't help it. Baked by the shoreline, cake by the ocean. Soaking the moon with the fork and the shellfish. Yeah. She wanna smoke pink velvet.
Revelation Radio. Explore the sound shaping subculture. Tune in to 101.9 CFRC Wednesdays from 11 to noon to uncover revelations mixed into music from across the alternative scene, underground, and across the globe.
The revolution will be live.
Revelation Radio, Wednesdays at 11.
Since its inception in 2022, CFRC Power Plays has become the number one destination for all things Queens football.
And that is a touchdown for the Gales!
With over 50 million lifetime views, CFRC Power Plays is the defining voice in Queens football coverage.
Looking for Nico Cuomo! Cuomo, my goodness! Nico Cuomo with a touchdown!
Follow us today on Instagram at CFRC Power Plays, your number one spot for rock solid football action.
Tune in to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9. Join your host, Ara McCauley, for a free-flow show where words, ideas, and music mingle. Each week, we sit down with one of the local authors and artists leading writing workshops through the Word Labs program. They'll share their stories, their insights, maybe even a few secrets of their craft. Get your pens ready. After the chat, you'll get writing prompts to stretch your imagination, all set to a soundscape designed to help you focus, relax, and create.
You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
Welcome to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9 FM. This week, we're going to talk about perspective. You might have a great plot, great characters, and a great setting for your story. But if you're not clear and confident in the perspective that you want to use for your story, and you don't use it consistently throughout your story, it can derail the reader's ability to immerse themselves in what you're writing. A story's perspective needs to be consistent so a reader knows where to situate themselves within a scene. Who are they sitting next to? Who are the main characters? Whose thoughts are driving forward what they're seeing and experiencing? It's a lot easier to contextualize what you're writing if you know where to situate your consciousness within the novel. Are we in one person's head? Are we looking down from the scene above? Or looking over someone's shoulder with the ability to read their thoughts? When deciding on which perspective to write from, you want to keep some things in mind. There are three main perspectives that you can choose from, which are first, second, and third. We'll get into a little bit more detail about all three of them and what the pros and cons are of each. So just as a quick recap, first person is told from a specific narrator's perspective. I did this, I did that. Second person is written as if the narrative happens from the reader's perspective, or as if it's a conversation with an invisible character. You did this, you did that. Third person can be broken into limited and omniscient. So third person is tied to one character's thoughts and perspectives at a time. If the perspective shifts, it's almost as if a camera is handed to another character. In this point of view, we can understand what one character is doing, and they can look at other characters, but they can't tell us the why of what someone is doing or what they're thinking. John did X, Jane did Y, but John wasn't sure why Jane did what she did. Third person omniscient is the God's eye perspective or the fly on the wall perspective. They can be represented as almost another character in themselves with personality that is just invisible to and does not interact with the other characters, or it can be a more dispassionate voice that is just describing thoughts and actions. You know, John did this, Jane did that, John thought this, Jane thought that. If you know what works for you and you are confident in your perspective choice, that's great. There's no right or wrong answer here, but if you've been struggling with how to frame your novel and you want some tips on what to do, let's get into them. So you want to consider the constraints of the different perspectives. With first person and third person limited, for example, it's difficult to show things happening outside of what your character sees and where your character is present. With third person omniscient, you can see everything, but it can be tricky to build a sense of deep connection with a particular character because your narrator is not actually interacting with them, they're just observing them. So you want to think about how many characters you have in your story and how many characters you want to quote unquote anchor to. If you are hoping to show events through more than two or three characters' points of view, you probably want to go third person rather than first. That means that characters can leave the room, characters can go on with their own lives, and we can follow them down those different paths. In that situation, if you decide to use first person, it can start to get confusing. You know, sometimes I have seen in novels where they will use first person, but each chapter is a different character, so that you're shifting perspectives. And in that way, you are
allowing your reader to kind of shift their headset and get a clear sense of, okay, this chapter is from character X's point of view. Next chapter, this is character Y. And it can be fun and it can be playful and it can be a way to look at things from different point of views without it getting too muddy. On Medium.com, there's a good article by T. Neal that talks about different perspectives and uses the analogy of first person as your character is wearing a GoPro and third person is like a floating camera in a sitcom. So that can kind of help you get a visual for the kind of perspectives and what that camera, quote unquote, is able to see. First person is a good choice if you want to inspire a sense of intimacy with the narrator. It allows your reader to immediately know who to focus on, and we get to see the world through one character's point of view. This is the most intimate perspective, and it allows the reader to feel the setting, the action, and emotion of the story. Think of it almost as though the reader has possessed the narrator and is moving through the world of the story in their body. The limits of this can be that we can only see what the narrator sees, and experiences are naturally filtered through their perspective and their biases. This can definitely work for your story, especially if you want to keep up an air of suspense or a feeling of tension, since your reader only knows what your narrator knows and only sees what your narrator sees, allowing the plot to unfold in bits and pieces as they explore their world. When using this perspective, though, your narrator needs to be compelling. Your reader is seeing everything through your narrator's perspective, and they're also seeing it tinged by your narrator's personality. Things don't just happen in a first-person narrative, they happen through the narrator's lens. Your narrator doesn't have to be a good person. They don't even have to be a reliable narrator, but they do have to be interesting enough that your reader feels compelled to go along on this ride with them. If they're really mean, really boring, or really annoying, your reader's going to walk away. Consider the stuck in the elevator test. If you were riding an elevator with this character and the power went out and you were trapped for 6 hours with them, what would that be like? Because essentially, if you're writing a longer story, you might be asking your reader to be stuck in the elevator with this character for hours and hours at a time. So you want to be mindful of what kind of conversation, what kind of engagement you are creating with this character. Another issue that can happen with this perspective is the temptation to make your narrator unnaturally observant. Your narrator, if it's the first person perspective, is probably not omniscient. They are a human, a figure interacting in this world of your story. So unless they are a detective or a spy or have some supernatural ability, you want to ask yourself what is realistic for them to notice in every scene. You want to shift your plot according to the perspective that you're using. Yes, it is harder to show the reader things that are happening in a story where it's a first person perspective. They can't see what's happening, quote unquote, off stage. They can't experience things that your character, your narrator, doesn't know about. So yeah, it can be tempting in this situation to start throwing breadcrumbs and have your narrator be really keen and really aware and highly empathetic. But if you're not finding that that's true to your character, maybe it's a time to consider shifting to a different perspective to use. So what are some other options? Third person. So there's third person limited and there's third person omniscient. In a way, third person limited shares a lot of similarities with first person perspective. In this point of view, the narrator tells the story with the thoughts, feelings, and experiences of a single character from their point of view. The narrator knows everything that's happening from the main character's perspective and can't see into the minds of other characters. So in this one, your reader would follow the protagonist through the events of the plot and experience them alongside them, but it doesn't let the reader into everything that's happening in the story, just what the narrator can see and experience through the main viewpoint character. Third person limited is popular because in a way it gives you the best of both worlds. You get to stay close to one character's thoughts and feelings while still having the flexibility to show action, conflict, and bigger picture of what's happening around them. Keeps the story moving without sacrificing emotional depth. The story is still filtered through one character's perspective, so readers still only know what that character knows or what that character thinks they know. You can still have misunderstandings, biases, faulty memories, which can shape the story in interesting way and allow for twists, turns, and revelations. As you can see from that description, you definitely still have some similar constraints to first person. We only see what the anchoring character sees, and it's difficult to show things happening out of their view. You also have to know the character well enough to get their voice right, to keep it consistent, and to give it personality. The way they describe what they're seeing around them, the way that they're thinking, needs to sound like something your character would think or say. Remember that in this perspective, your narrator, again, can only tell you what they see and experience. They don't have access to other characters' thoughts. So if you want the reader to know what another character is thinking, you want to work on showing through that other character's actions. Think about their tone of voice, their demeanor, and how they interact with your narrator. If you want maximum flexibility, this is where third-person omniscient comes in. Your narrator in this situation can be considered a fly on the wall. They can go anywhere, hear any conversation, watch any action unfold, and tell you about it. The challenge with this point of view is that it can be a lot harder to build a sense of connection between the reader and any one character. It's really easy to zoom out in this world, but it's harder to zoom in. If you use this perspective, you want to make sure that you have well-developed characters that can stand on their own without you getting into their head. You can again flex those showing muscles to help your reader get a sense of who each character is and how they might be expected to feel about them. With third-person omniscient, you do have some freedom to dip into different characters' minds if the scene calls for it, but you want to use this sparingly, or else the story can start feeling too busy or disjointed. The same way we talked about with first person above, if you have all these thoughts from different characters flooding into a scene, it can be difficult to know whose voices to focus on. Dipping into too many heads has its own term, which is head jumping. This is where you try to show the reader what each character is thinking in every scene. In doing so, you lose that unified voice of your story, that voice that is driving it forward, and the reader gets muddied down and loses track of what's going on. Okay, we've talked about first, we've talked about third. Why did I jump over second? A lot of writers and editors will advise you to avoid this perspective altogether, with the general consensus being that it's very challenging to do well. That doesn't mean it can't be done. I remember the impact you had on me when reading Alicia Elliott's A Mind Spread Out on the Ground. It was her memoir, but that choice of perspective challenged me as the reader to stay present and live what she lived. This perspective integrates the reader naturally into the story as a participant, and it can be helpful when the writer wants to break the fourth wall and make a point or call out the reader. It forces immediate self-awareness, which can be helpful when you really want to make an impact, or for example, when you're writing an article where you want the reader to be paying attention. The drawback for fiction, however, is that it really breaks that sense of immersion in the story that generally writers are working to create. You can make it work if you want your readers to be a character in the story, think at a very basic level, something like a choose your own adventure, but it's less effective if you're really trying to make your reader lose themselves in your writing. So we'll wrap up today with a couple of exercises to help play with perspective. Here's a little scenario for you to write about. A character arrives late to a party, unaware that an old significant other is attending too. The relationship didn't end well. The host introduces them to each other, unaware of their history. Let's spend some time now writing about this encounter using the third person omniscient point of view. This is the fly on the wall point of view. I'll give you about 5 minutes.
Don't.
All right. So we're back from writing our story from the third person omniscient point of view. Now let's revisit the story of the party and use a first person perspective. I want you to reimagine the story you wrote, but this time I want you to choose either the host, the late arrival, or the ex, and write that scene using the first person. So what did you think about these exercises? Did one perspective feel more comfortable than the other? Reread both versions and think about which you felt would be more engaging for the reader. If you want, I'd encourage you to spend a little time on your own, trying now either the third person limited or second person perspective. With second person or third person limited, you can choose any of those characters to be the main focal point. For example, if you're using second person perspective, the you character could be the ex that's at this party with the host and doesn't know about this late arrival. As always, have fun with it and see what sparks the best ideas for you. Thank you again for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on Word Labs Out Loud.
Jackie thinks you're the one for me, but I'm not convinced yet. Always had this ability to make my own messes, turn friends to exes. Oh, here I go now. It's a control breakdown. I'll make sure you get home safe, but I'm not staying over. Okay, just a little taste, at least until it's over. All our friends are catching on, 'cause when I said there's nothing going on, in 7 days of the week. But you do that for anyone, same as it always was. Here I go now. It's a control breakdown. I'll make sure you get home safe, but I'm not staying over. Okay, just a little taste, at least until it's over. I lie.
fly on the wall is made for the observers, those of you that notice, the pollinators wanting to share the things that they love, and the disturbers trying to shake up the now's landscape. Come around for an intimate yet lively dive into, well, a little bit of everything. Indie, folk, rock, house music, you name it. Music deserves and needs to be shared, and I am here to do that with you all. This is Abby, and Fly on the Wall will be playing on CFRC 101.9 FM every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.